Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Ephesians 5:17. I am Rob West. That verse is a good reminder that to follow God's will, we must first know it for all the areas of our lives, including our finances. Brian Holtz joins us today with a question. Does your budget reflect God's priorities or yours? Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we always look forward to having Brian Holtz on the program. He's the CEO of Compass Financial Ministry and brings great insights into biblical money management. Brian, great to have you back with us.
It's great to be back, Rob. Thank you.
Brian, it seems obvious that we should organize our finances according to God's priorities, but share with us why exactly we should do that.
You're right, Rob. It does seem obvious, but it's one of those things that's easy to overlook in our daily lives. It starts with one of the most fundamental concepts of Christian finances, the topic of ownership versus stewardship. Psalm 24:1 clearly identifies God's role as the owner by telling us the earth is the Lord's and all it contains.
Yeah.
Then 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 teach us that our role is as stewards or managers, and that stewards must be found faithful.
Yeah, and then the next question is, of course, okay, faithful to what?
Exactly. As stewards, we're supposed to be faithful to the owner's goals and priorities rather than our own. Think of it this way. If I lend my car to someone and ask them to run some errands for me, but they bring the car back having not run any of my errands, they wouldn't have been a very good steward, would they? It's the same way when God entrusts something to us and we use it to pursue our goals rather than his.
Exactly, Brian. So then we need to know what God's priorities are. Would you unpack those for us?
Sure. I believe Scripture reveals five key priorities. The first is generosity. There are over 300 verses about giving and generosity, and we're always encouraged to give our first and best, never the leftovers. So I've got to place this as God's top priority for money.
Yeah.
The second is providing for our families and relatives' basic needs. This is strongly established in 1 Timothy 5:8, where the Apostle Paul writes that anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It seems harsh, but I think that's exactly the point. This is a big deal to God, so it should be a big deal to us.
Yeah.
The third priority is to meet our financial obligations. In Romans 13, 7 and 8, Paul instructs us to give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. As representatives of Jesus here on earth, we must meet our financial obligations. The fourth priority is to save for the future. Biblically responsible saving is intentional and allows us to be faithful in the first three priorities during times of hardship or when our normal income might be insufficient. Finally, the fifth priority is to enjoy God's abundant blessing. In 1 Chronicles 29:28, we hear that King David, a man after God's own heart, dies having, quote, enjoyed long life and abundant wealth, unquote. When we are faithful to God's priorities, we shouldn't be surprised or ashamed when God allows us to enjoy his abundance. We just want to make sure we don't place this last priority ahead of his greater priorities.
Yeah, those are really helpful. So generosity, providing for our families, meeting our financial obligations, saving for the future, and then enjoying God's abundant blessing. But what about somebody who's listening today, Brian, who says, I just don't think my budget, the way it stands today, is aligned with those priorities you just outlined. Where do they go from here?
Yeah, I think we've all found ourselves there. The best thing we can do is to admit to God that we've made a mistake and recommit to pursuing his goals. Then, as a family, if you have one, start making financial trades to get your biggest budget lines aligned to God's top priorities and your smallest ones to match God's lower priorities. Ask questions like, what abundance could we cut back on in order to be more generous? What are we saving too much for at the expense of our family's immediate needs? What could we stop doing that would allow us to pay off debts faster? And once we have our priorities in order, how can we honor God by enjoying his abundant blessings?
Brian, that is so good. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thanks for having me today, Rob.
Folks, if you want to learn more, head to compassfinancialministry.org. You can find resources that fit the time you have and how you prefer to learn, whether it's reading, watching, or listening. Again, that's compassfinancialministry.org. Back with your questions right after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The time has come. That phrase could mean all sorts of things, but it carries a sense of weight, that something important is about to happen. It could be life-altering. It could change the trajectory of the future. These are the words Jesus used when he began his ministry in Mark 1. He said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." It's a day that changed world history, the arrival of the kingdom of God. Jesus invites us to respond with urgency and faith. Now is the time to turn from former life and to live as citizens of God's kingdom. You'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Great to have my friend Brian Holt, CEO of Compass Financial Ministry. That's the ministry founded by our good friend Howard Dayton. They're doing some great work. You can check it out at compassfinancialministry.org. By the way, while you're there, one of the great tools they have available, which I know we get a lot of questions about here on Faith and Finance, has to do with getting your financial house in order. It's called Set Your House in Order, and it really is a step-by-step guide to collecting all of your important financial information, putting it in one place so it's easily accessible by a loved one. Perhaps as husband and wife, there's one of you that is the administrator, if you will, handles the details, maybe is more financially inclined. Well, Set Your House in Order will help to ensure that all that information is at the ready. If one of you were to go home to be with the Lord, the other will need, in a difficult season, to be able to know where to go, who to contact, where is all of our information, and how do we pull it together in a way that makes sense? Well, this tool could be great to help you do just that. Again, you can check it out at compassfinancialministry.org. Well, we're going to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. I'm excited to hear what's on your mind financially so that together we can talk about how do we run those decisions around financial decision-making
through the lens of God's word, biblical wisdom, and make a practical decision so you can move forward with confidence. We've got lines open today at 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. You can call with any financial topic. We've heard from a lot of folks lately wondering about various scams. Maybe they've been a victim of identity theft, wanting to know, how do I handle that? Could be something as simple as a call we talked about, or a listener we talked to earlier this week that just lost her wallet and just saying, how do I handle this? What do I do? Perhaps it's your spending plan. You know, whether you have a variable income or a fixed income, you know, it's more challenging than ever in the wake of inflation for you to balance that budget. I mean, just think about it. Over the last 4 years, expenses are up 25%. Remember, these annual inflation increases are cumulative. They all build on one another. And so even though economists are celebrating that inflation is coming down, it's not that prices are going down. We're still building on last year's prices. It's just the rate of increase of those prices is slowing. Well, the net result of that is it's a lot more expensive to live today than it was even 3 years ago. I don't have to tell you that. You're experiencing that every day. So what does it look like to balance your budget, to live within God's provision, within your means? Because that's the key to every financial success. If you don't have margin, we're going to accumulate debt, or at the very least, we're going to live right up to the edge, which means we don't have anything left to accomplish our goals, giving more, saving more, paying down debt. And we might live right up to the edge in such a way that when anything unexpected comes, we're just not able to cover it. Well, we'd love to help you with that. Maybe it's your investments or giving wisely, whatever it might be today. Lines are open. You can call right now. The calls are coming in, but we've got room for you. 800-525-7000. Call right now. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin out in Connecticut today and welcome Ruth to the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Hi, I was calling to ask, what is the best route to take when filing for EIN? If my husband and I have an LLC, it's a rental property, and we want to build upon that, like eventually get more properties and have like a flourishing rental real estate establishment, sorry. And so we want to know, if we're filing with the IRS, should we do like partnership, an S corp or C corp, like for tax purposes, what's the best route to take?
Yeah, very good. And you are correct to the first part of your question, that if you decide to go with an LLC, which is generally what a lot of folks will do in your situation, then you will want to obtain an employer identification number, an EIN, for your business from the IRS. The EIN is just another name for the 9-digit federal tax identification number. And you can think of that as the business version of your Social Security number. If you have one or more employees, you'll want that EIN. If you're a single member LLC, you're not required to get it, but I think it still makes some sense to have one. It's fairly easy to do. You can do that on the IRS's website. In terms of the best business structure for your situation, Ruth, you know, for a business as relatively simple as a rental operation, you're probably best off with either a partnership or an LLC. Both provide liability protection to the partners and members, respectively. Both would give you what is called pass-through taxation. So that just avoids you being taxed twice. So while you can avoid the double taxation with an S-corp, employees must be paid a reasonable salary, which is subject to payroll taxes. A C-corp is always going to bring the double taxation because the corporation pays taxes as well as the individual shareholders. Both partnerships and LLCs, Ruth, have a simpler management structure than the S-corp or the C-corp, which both the S and the C require a board of directors. a partnership is managed by the partners, obviously, while an LLC is managed either by the members of the LLC or a hired manager. So, you know, it's fairly simple to set it up legally, and I'd probably connect with an attorney to help you put the docs in place and get everything filed appropriately, get that EIN number. You're going to want to get with a CPA just to make sure you got a good set of books that keep your business expenses and operations separate from your personal operations, just because when you're trying to document business expenses, you don't want those commingled. And so having a clear set of books is really your best defense against any challenge that would come from the IRS on those business deductions. But is that helpful to you?
Yes. I was a little bit confused about the LLC and the partnership, because I heard you say you can do an LLC, but when I file it, it says, like, it seems like it changes from an LLC to something else, but it still keeps the LLC even though it's a partnership?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, LLCs are generally preferred for their liability protection and the tax flexibility. And so I think the LLC is probably going to be the way that you want to go. Now, it generally is going to come down to, and this is where I think talking to a professional can make some sense, depending upon the business that you're in and the management structure, your state's laws may tip the scales toward a partnership. But in most cases, the LLC is the better option because of the liability protection against creditors and so forth, and more tax flexibility.
Okay.
Okay.
Put the LLC first.
Yes.
Okay. I think I understand now.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to find somebody through FaithFi.
Yes. What you could do is go find a certified Kingdom advisor there at faithfi.com and just ask for a referral to a business attorney, someone who can help you set the structure up. And then if you need a CPA, they could help you get that done as well. They would all have a godly CPA that they work with. But remember, all this does vary by state. Some states make it easier to create an LLC than others, but you're going to have to file those articles of incorporation, and there's a few decisions to be made. But I think that's probably going to be where you end up. So hopefully that helps you. All the best in this business in the days ahead. Thanks for your call. We'll be back with more questions after this. Stick around.
Answers in Genesis.
Ark Encounter.
The Creation Museum.
Both are more than just family destinations. They're resources to help you and your family deepen your understanding of the Bible. Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano are taking that to another level with AFA at the Ark. October 31st through November 2nd, you'll get to learn from special presentations and a live panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. For all the details, visit afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
There's a valid reason why more and more people are becoming disillusioned with the mainstream media. It's the same reason more and more people are turning to American Family News. They're tired of all the fluff and propaganda, and they're looking for a news source they can trust. Whether it's politics, world events, or events here at home, you know it's accurate news on current events from an evangelical Christian perspective. American Family News, on the air and on demand at afn.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, doing this program for many years now, I've seen firsthand how money can serve as both a blessing and a burden, no matter how much or how little you have. The reality is, it's not about the money at all. It's about a heart attitude, because we recognize money is a good gift from God. But as author Paul David Tripp reminds us, this good thing can become a bad thing for you when it becomes a ruling thing. You see, we were created with a longing for abundance and life that only God can satisfy, but the world will tell you that money can provide the fulfillment, the significance, the protection that we're all looking for. Well, it's a lie. The deceitfulness of riches will choke out the Word of God from bearing fruit in our lives if we allow it to become the object of our affection and our devotion. But when we recognize our role as stewards of God's resources and the role of money as a tool for God's purposes, well, money becomes a powerful force for good, because we can provide for our loved ones, we can give to those in need, we can use it to spread the gospel and invest in ways that even promote human flourishing. Well, here at FaithFi and the Faith and Finance radio broadcast, we want to be an encouragement to you, enabling you to integrate your faith with your financial decisions for the glory of God. And that's our objective each day. We love to hear from you with your testimonies of God's faithfulness in your life, how you've applied these principles from His Word, and with your specific financial questions. So if you'd like to get in the mix today, you have a financial question, we've got lines open. We're ready for you. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Virginia and welcome Sherry to the broadcast. Hi there.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, if your spouse is accumulating credit card debt and your name is not on the credit card, if he should die, would I be responsible for that debt?
Yeah. It's a good question. As long as the other spouse, not the one who took out the credit card in the first place, but the other spouse does not sign a credit agreement, that spouse is not legally responsible for the debt. The surviving spouse would simply notify that the account holder has died. Now, when the estate goes through probate, creditors are able to make claims against the estate and can receive payments that way, and the executor is obligated to pay those debts. If the estate lacks the funds to pay the debt, the creditor takes the loss, but the surviving spouse would not be personally liable. But it does get a little bit fuzzy, because, you know, depending on what the laws of your state are with marital property, obviously you have shared assets. And so theoretically, an estate that's paying the creditors for the obligation of the one spouse that passed away would potentially take money away from the other spouse that would otherwise, be available for that spouse to hold on to. So technically, no, there would be, the liability would stop with the spouse that opened the account and took on the debt. But through the probate process, they could get paid back, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Okay,
that was my question. That's all I needed to know. I appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you, Sherry. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go to Missouri. Guy, I understand you have some additional thoughts from our for our previous caller about LLCs. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I agree 100% with your advice for them to seek out professional help. And the reason is each state, if you try to do it online yourself, each state has different formats for LLCs.
Yes.
And some are probably better than others. But after we did a couple of LLCs, I did some more reading and found out that if you just use a standard generic LLC form, later on, if you should be challenged in court, that a good attorney could pick apart one of those format LLCs. I'm not saying everyone would be that way, but if you have a competent attorney or CPA helping you, you know, structure those, then you're much more protected, I guess you'd say, in the event that you should be sued over something.
Yeah, that's well said, Guy. I totally agree. You know, whether it's your estate and putting a will together or a trust, I mean, you can get templates online. But again, differing states have different rules and you may approach it differently. And the same is true to your point around a business structure and forming a corporation or an LLC. You know, yes, there's a cost to having a professional take his or her time to put it in place. But it's well worth it, especially if, you know, at some point you were sued or you're trying to defend decisions you've made before the IRS, having everything done properly and according to the laws, to your point, of your state is critical. And so that's why when it comes to important matters like getting our taxes filed right, buying and selling a home, putting a will or a trust in place and forming a corporation, having some godly expert counsel walking alongside you, I think, is worth every penny. So, Guy, we appreciate you weighing in on that. It's great advice. Are you all in the rental business, or was it some other type of business?
We had rentals at one time. We mainly do flip houses now.
Ah, got it. How has that business changed for you, just with interest rates and the housing prices and so forth?
Several years ago, we could buy flip houses for $30,000 or $40,000 and make a fair profit on them.
Yeah.
It's much different today. Prices are much higher. The goods and services, even though lumber has come down, as you were talking earlier, they're still way up. So it's harder to make a profit now. You really have to be careful.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You got to know what you're doing. You got to be careful not to get overextended. And yeah, it's unfortunately the entry point has moved up quite a bit. So those who are just getting started in this this business of flipping or rentals just creates a lot more challenges, and it makes it more risky, especially if you don't have the financial wherewithal to do it. Guy, thanks for being on the program today, sir. We appreciate it. A quick break and back with more of your questions. Michael, coming your way, he wants to know, how do you budget on a variable income? Room for your calls as well. Call right now. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. You know, here at AFR, everything is about looking at our lives through the lens of God's Word. How do we live authentically with an authentic faith? It's not compartmentalized to Sunday, but it permeates every facet of our lives, our walk with Jesus day to day, our role as parents, and if you're married, as a spouse, and in community, and as we love our neighbors, and as we manage God's money faithfully. It's a high calling. We want to get it right. We want to be found faithful over a lifetime. Well, how do we do that when the messages of this world are so strong? Well, we do that together by constantly renewing our minds, being encouraged and edified and directed back to God's way, not the world's way. Well, we want to be that daily source of encouragement and hope for you, biblically grounded and theologically accurate as we address and rightly divide the scriptures around this topic of money management. We've got lines open today. If you have questions, hopefully we've got some answers for you. 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Call right now. Let's go out to Mississippi. Michael, how can I serve you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'm on a variable income. So during the summer, I do HVAC. So during the summer, you know, I have plenty of work, just plenty of business. Yeah. And then during the winter, it slows down almost to a complete halt. So, I mean, I still have some income during the winter, but not as much. So my income kind of almost cuts in half. Yeah. I was wondering, like, what should I be doing, or what resources are available to help me during that downtime?
Yeah, boy, that's a challenging one, I know. And there are strategies, and we can talk about those here in a moment, around variable income budgeting so you don't get caught off guard, because we know it's coming. So we've got to have a plan to kind of smooth out your income. Let me ask you, is there a way for you to, in the off months, to kind of refocus, whether it means adding a new skill set or something else where, you know, you're cleaning the ducts in the winter and that becomes the priority, or you're obviously servicing heating, you know, the heating portion of the units. I mean, are there other things that you could really focus on marketing during that off season to smooth it out on the income side before we address the spending?
Absolutely. We're a small company. It's just me and my boss, and he tries to keep me as busy as he can during the winter. And we do have some heat calls, but not nearly as much for my income as, you know, AC calls.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he would need me at the, you know, at the drop of a hat, or, you know, on call or something like that, in case, you know, we had any calls. So like getting another job isn't exactly viable.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. I think the key would be to try to expand your services so that maybe there's something else that you focus on during those winter months. I mean, obviously, the heat that we've been encountering the last month or so has, I'm sure, played in your favor. You've probably got more work than you can handle right now. In terms of what's called variable income budgeting, you know, this is going to sound simpler than it is because I realize this is challenging to do. But the big idea here is to look over your income and expenses for the past year look at that 12-month expenses and then set up a budget based on your needs. But essentially what you'd want to do is have your paychecks paid to a savings account during the summer and then put yourself on a regular recurring income. And we're going to need to base the budget on the average over 12 months. And so obviously we need to include those winter months as we're looking at the income that you're going to have available over a 12-month time frame. And then the question will be, and I realize this is, you know, not going to be easy, especially with expenses up so dramatically like they are over the last 4 years, but if we could get that 12-month number divided by 12 and then build your budget around that, not only right up to the edge, but even with a little bit of cushion there, then what you could do is actually set up that automatic transfer from savings of that lower amount into your operating or your checking account and then budget accordingly on that. And then obviously, if we do this right over a year's time, then, you know, what you have or what you need to supplement in the winter is going to be sitting there in savings. And so we can smooth out, you know, that that amount that's coming into checking. And it's almost like you put yourself on a salary. And then the key will be to have a system to control not only the flow of money but the flow of money out. And that's where I think our FaithFi app could be really helpful, where you use a digital envelope system. As that monthly check comes in from savings or that monthly transfer, it automatically funds electronically your envelopes. It's not actually moving money, but in the app, it's, you know, taking the dollars and allocating them to your various envelopes. And then when you connect to your checking or savings or credit card accounts, as those transactions come in, the system over time learns where they go, automatically categorizes them. And the key is, at any point during the month, you can open up the FaithFi app and see, okay, what do I have left this month until I, you know, pay myself again in eating out? What do I have in clothing? What do I have in entertainment and all the rest? So I think that could be a great approach to you. Obviously, we're, you know, halfway through the summer. And so if we haven't been doing this, you know, it's going to be challenging until you get a full year cycle under your belt. But if you can do it, you know, I think it'll smooth things out. Give me your thoughts on that, though.
Oh, no, I'm absolutely, you know, it's not something I've actually thought about before, but yeah, that makes sense. And I think that would actually, that actually makes a lot of sense. I think that would actually help me make it through the winter.
All right, let's do this. Here's what I
paying myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you'd even have your checks go directly into savings and then pay yourself out of that. The key is to right-size the budget so that you're working off of, you know, a 12-month average of your total income for the year, and we're budgeting within that so that you've got enough left and you truly are building up those surpluses in the summer months when things are really happening. Here's what I'd like to do for you, Michael. Two things. One is I'm going to give you a 6-month subscription to the FaithFi app just to get you started. But the other thing I want to do, if you'd take advantage of it, is I'd love to connect you with one of our certified Christian financial counselors. We have several of them on our team here. And as our gift to you, I'd like to gift you several sessions with that certified Christian financial counselor to actually help you get all the pieces in place and bring another perspective on the budget and just kind of get all that in place so that it's really humming for you. If that's something you'd take advantage of, we'd be happy to cover the cost on that.
Lee, thank you so much.
All right. Happy to do it. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information. We'll get you that 6-month pro subscription to the FaithFi app, and we'll get a CERT CFC in touch with you to get you moving forward. And hopefully things will be much better come this winter, or at least on your way to things improving. Here's my only ask of you, Michael, is at some point down the road when this is all working the way that it should, give us a call and tell us how it's going, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Hang on the line. Our team will get your information. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. You got to love the HVAC guys, especially this time of year. I love my air conditioning. And so when it's not working, we know it in a hurry. But, variable income budgeting can be challenging, folks. I think the key is, and this is just true of so much of our financial lives, is we just need to have a plan, right? We need to have a plan that allows us to kind of smooth out those ebbs and flows, whether it's, getting a bonus every year and not kind of spreading that out over the year, but using it for high ticket items rather than kind of getting it baked back into the budget. Or maybe it's a tax refund rather than changing that W-4 and getting that back into your paycheck. You use that once a year to buy, take a vacation or buy big ticket items. It's just all about planning. All right, one more break and then back with our final segment. Call right now, 800-525-7000.
Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling. And he says,
we've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes.
Misspelled words.
Today's issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
What motivates you the most? The approval of God or other people? If we examine the evidence of our own lives, the latter is likely far more true than we care to admit. I'm David Wolin. Join me on this next week of Haven Today as biblical counselor Dr. Ed Welch joins me for an illuminating series called Big People, Small God.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
So glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In our final segment today, we'll take as many calls as we can. We do have a room for maybe one or two more questions. The number 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. With your financial questions, you can call right now. Our team will get you ready and on the air pretty quickly. Let's take an email. These come into us all the time at askrob@faithfi.com. I try to bring them into the broadcast periodically. Jill writes to us, is it better to continue putting the maximum amount toward my retirement? That's $200 a month for her going into an IRA. That my employer matches at 50%, or should we put that money toward paying off our debt? I would ask first, just is this a simple IRA? If so, the maximum contribution your employer can make is 3%. Now, if you said IRA and you meant 401k, then yeah, absolutely, your employer could match you up to 50% or even 100%. It's a tough question because you obviously want to pay down debt as quickly as possible to avoid interest. On the other hand, your employer's contributions are essentially free money. And if your employer is matching 50%, you can probably contribute enough to your 401k to come out ahead, even if you pay more interest on the debt. Because remember, we're putting money away now. We get that 50% bonus, 50% return on your money immediately guaranteed. You're not going to get that anywhere else. That's higher than the interest on the debt, no doubt. And we keep that money in the tax-deferred environment between now and your retirement years. With that said, I want to get you out of debt as soon as you can. So what I would do is not put $1 more than you're getting matched at 50% in the retirement plan. But as soon as you cap out that employer match, let's immediately go over to the debt and try to get that paid off, especially if that's high interest credit card debt. I would really go after that and attack it as best you can. So hopefully that helps you, Jill. We appreciate you writing to us at AskRob@faithfi.com. All right, let's go to Texas and welcome Charles to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about how to help my children buy their first house. I'm 70 years old. I'm completely out of debt. I make enough each month off my, I guess, annuities and my pensions that I actually clear money each month and everything. So I've been contributing to my IRAs and 401k since the 70s. I have a sizable chunk in there. I realized that when I put money into my 401ks that I would pay taxes at this time in my life. So I'm not opposed to paying taxes. I feel like it's my obligation. It's my contract, my end of the deal.
Yeah.
To pay taxes. Sure. But I have my daughter and son-in-law, they're in the mid-20s. They got pinched in the housing crisis. They're expecting a second child, and I'd like to get them out of an apartment and into a house somehow. I'd like to be able to gift them the maximum amount I can by pulling down some of my 401k, but I want to do it wisely. I don't know if there's a wise way to do that. My children have demonstrated to me that they're financially responsible. I think I could, you know, give them this money and they'd set it aside and not use it for anything but a house. If there's any kind of advice or wisdom you could give me as far as timing, who knows the market and the interest rates.
Yeah.
Especially the housing market in Texas is crazy. You know, how to pull this down. And I mean, it'll be counted as income towards me, of course. And then to gift it to them. Anyway, any way you can help me here, sir?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So there's the financial side and the non-financial side. Let's start with the non-financial side. I love that you've already addressed one piece, and that is their financial maturity. That's obviously key. I think second is just making sure, I don't know whether it's, did you say it's your son and your daughter-in-law or your daughter and your son-in-law? Which one?
My daughter and son-in-law. That's my youngest daughter. My first two children were able to get in before this pinch happened and everything, but yeah.
Great. So the only question I would ask on that is just, have you considered or even talked with them about just the gift itself, that you're considering this? And here's what I'm many sons-in-laws would see this as a great blessing and be incredibly grateful. There would be a small number that might say, Well, you're taking away my ability to provide for my family and kind of do that on my own. I mean, is there any element of that that you need to consider, or have you already?
We already have done that. Probably about 18 months ago, I was trying to hop in. I said, I'll just buy a house outright for you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I'll sell it to you with a mortgage and everything, and y'all can, you know, pay me back that way. We can work something out. With a no gain on the transaction at all.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, so I've kind of whetted their appetite that I'm wanting to help them.
Okay.
Everything. So
was received well by him and her?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
He works for a religious organization, so you know his income is kind of capped and everything. So I think he's well aware of that, not infringing on his pride or ability to provide.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important just to think through, because what we might see as a blessing and, you know, may be received differently, but it sounds like you've already considered that. So I'm delighted to hear that. In terms of just the financial side of this, the annual gift exclusion is $18,000. If you were married, you could give $36,000. You could give $18,000. Your wife could give $18,000 to each of them. And so you could give them a total of $72,000, essentially, because you could give $18,000 to him, you could give $18,000 to her, your wife could turn around and do the same. So $72,000. And if you did it that way, you wouldn't even have to tell the IRS. Now, if you wanted to do more than that, you can absolutely do that, because the lifetime gift exclusion right now is sitting at $13.61 million. So by you going over the $18,000 a piece, and your wife going, if she were to go over the $18,000 a piece, there's still no tax due. you would just have to file gift tax form 709 with the IRS just to notify them that whatever exceeds the $18,000 per person is chipping away at that $13 million lifetime gift exemption, which, you know, you're going to have to give them a lot of money and have a pretty big estate to ever get anywhere close to that. So essentially what I'm saying is, as long as you're willing to file gift tax form 709, again, not creating any taxable event, but notifying the IRS, you can essentially give them as much as you want. And there really is no way to structure this that's going to be tax advantaged, because as you pull it out from either the pension or the 401k or IRA, you're creating a taxable event, and you can't get around that. And then there is no tax for you or them on the gift. It really is just whether or not you have to tell the IRS because you went over the annual exclusion. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. I think you actually helped me see something I had overlooked. So far as gifting, it's gifting per social. So I could gift 18 off of my social to them, and my wife could gift 18 off of her social to them.
That's right.
I can't gift two 18s off of my social to them in 1 year, even though it goes to their own socials.
Well, you actually could. You can give 18,000 per person to as many people as you want. So that's how I'm getting to 72,000, because you can give 18 to her, you can give 18 to him, your wife can give 18 to her, and 18 to him. And so can get all the way to 72 grand with the two of you giving to the two of them, and you don't have to tell the IRS anything. But again, if you go beyond that, you decide you guys want to give them 100 grand, you can do that. You just have to chip away at that $13 million lifetime exemption.
Okay, exactly. Okay, that's very helpful. Very helpful. Okay. Yeah, because my wife's all tied up in TRS with that and with Roth. You know, I took the 401k early in my years and, you know, did like that. So, okay, it's a different. Okay, great. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
very helpful.
You're very welcome, Charles. Let me just also mention, I'm sure, because you sound like you're a pretty astute guy, I'm sure you're familiar with the qualified charitable distribution, but doing your giving once you're 70 and a half out of your IRA, it replacing giving you're doing with after-tax dollars is the only way to get that money out of the IRA without creating a taxable event. Are you familiar with that strategy?
Yes, I have several members of my church that do that.
Okay.
I assume that direct distribution, I cannot claim it in my itemized charitable contributions. That seems like a double dipping if I would.
It is, and you are correct. Yeah, no, so you don't get to deduct it, but you get to get it out, satisfy an RMD if you have one, but even if you don't, you get it out without creating the taxable event, which means more dollars for the kingdom, and you know, you don't add any taxable income as that money comes out.
Exactly. Yep. Very good advice. Thank you,
sir. All right. Thank you, Charles. God bless you, sir. Quickly to North Carolina, Phyllis, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I was calling. I had a concern in regards to, I just turned 66 on yesterday, and I plan to file for Social Security at 66, I think, in 6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm still working, and I have a pretty good income, right at $100,000 a year. My question is, I would like to be debt-free because I won't get a pension upon my retirement. And I was wondering, would it be a good idea just to use the Social Security file for it and use that over the next couple of years to pay off my mortgages? I have rental property where I only owe $40,000 on one. The other one's paid off. My primary, I owe about $110,000.
Yeah.
So I'd like to be debt-free upon retirement because my only income will be Social Security and the income from rentals.
Yes, very good. Well, yeah, you certainly could do that. I mean, you're going to lock in your full retirement benefit. You won't be able to increase that, which you would be able to do if you delayed it beyond full retirement age. If you have a positive cash flow with the rental properties, you could continue to pay, you know, as you are until you retire with them. But if you really want to be completely debt-free by the time you retire, taking this full retirement age benefit and then just putting 100% of that toward debt reduction makes a lot of sense to me. So I'm on board with that strategy, Phyllis. All the best to you. And hey, by the way, happy birthday yesterday. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. Folks, that's going to do it for us. A big thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick. We're also grateful for Pat as well as Adam, who work as a team to handle our phones. You have a great day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.